Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. I am so happy to share with you today Mark Susnow. He is also a radio man. I'm so excited. Let me tell you a bit about Mark before we begin. He knows change. He is a recognized thought leader, wisdom teacher, author, and life coach who inspires others to believe in themselves and to envision possibilities not yet considered. He is passionate about life being an exciting journey of discovery. His enthusiastic and inspiring talks on change, leadership, and connection thoroughly convey this message. A formal trial attorney, a musician for 25 years, he integrates what it takes to be successful in the world with the inner wisdom unfolded to him through years of yoga and meditation. In his former career, he was covered by the New York Times, Rolling Stone magazine, Boston Globe, and the San Francisco Chronicle. He is the author of Dancing on the River, Navigating Life's Changes, and soon to be released, The Soul of Possibility. I am so excited to hear about these books today, Mark. To start off, Mark, I want to say welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Paula. It's my privilege and honor to be your guest. And I like your enthusiasm. May we all be happy.
Yes. Yes, yay. Let's begin. Will you please share a bit about yourself, anything you'd like to share before we start discussing what you do and your books?
Well, I've always kind of wondered throughout life since I've been a kid if there's always these two voices we have, the voice of what we're actually experiencing in the moment. We notice what we're experiencing, and then we sometimes wonder about what's going to happen in the future. Where's it all going? And we try to sometimes make sense of our life. And so I've always been one of those people. Listen to tapes, audio, watch video, listen to, go to the talk, always wondering if there's a better way. And so that's been my quest. And throughout my life, there are certain things that I wanted, and you start to achieve certain levels of fulfillment and success, and then you still feel this feeling that there's something missing. And so my work has been around that, is to kind of explore that, but to shift it to get to a place where that process of discovery that I talk a lot about, like life being a journey of discovery, can also be fun. So I think where I made a shift was all the stuff we're doing, I've made it fun and just shifted my attitude. Said there's something I need to do to fix me, to make me whole. I started looking at, hey, I'm perfect the way I am. I'm whole the way I am. And life is good. And it can, and so this process of discovery is like if you, I don't know if you play any sports, but have you ever played any sports?
I did. I volleyball and baseball in high school.
Okay, so take like baseball. Like for example, you wanna be a better hitter. And you go to the batting cage and you start to notice, wow, if I turn my shoulder a certain way or turn my hips a certain way, I can hit the ball better. And life's like that. We can keep, but that's fun, that process of looking at our mechanics. That can be fun because it's a subtle thing, and that's kind of the way I think like fulfillment is, that we start to appreciate the little subtle things.
Yes.
And as we start to notice the little subtle things, there's like a richness to life that we hadn't experienced before, and it becomes, like I say, more fun, more like an adventure. So I kind of see our lives like adventure. By the way, I saw you did some training, and I'm on your website now at Machu Picchu.
Yes.
And me too. I was there.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
I received my Master Reiki attunement in front of the graves of the three high princesses at Machu Picchu on my birthday. It doesn't get better than that.
Wow. How awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a great adventure going to Peru. It was, and I really loved the Sacred Valley.
When did you go there?
It was about 5-6 years ago, maybe 7. Yeah. Oh, it was. It was 8. Now that I think about it, yeah.
When I was actually it was a fun time for me. I went there in September, and then I came back to a book release for Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes the next month. So it was a very exciting period for me.
Mm. Did you have any get-togethers with a shaman or medicine man?
Yes, there was a shaman that kind of led the trip.
Uh-huh.
Took us to a lot of the sacred sites. But I think a lot of ways in Peru, shamans it kind of gets watered down, the real shamans.
Mm-hmm.
And now all the tour guides are shamans.
Yeah.
Kind of like a fancy word for tour guide is shamans. I mean, almost everybody calls himself a shaman.
Yeah.
They lead tours and all the sacred sites.
Oh, it's just so amazing to see that area and the people. And I fell in love with the children and the animals. I was hugging the alpacas and the llamas. And yes. Oh, fun. Well, Mark, let me ask you. You have been speaking and writing and coaching people about the many challenges we face in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
What do you consider to be the three biggest challenges that we face out there?
Well, that's a question that I think about a lot. And sometimes I think there's one, sometimes I think there are five. But let's just start with the thing that comes to mind. I think the biggest thing is when the biggest fallacy people make is that they think that when they got it, like, right, when something bothers them now, that the current problem is resolved, that there'll be an easy street, there'll be a cruise control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest mistake people make is that, you know, they got a crisis, and it could be over money, it could be a relationship, and they think when it's resolved that everything will be fine.
Yes.
So I think that's the biggest mistake people make is that because there's always going to be something else. And life is like that. There's never going to be a place when we don't have something to concern ourselves. That means we're alive.
Right. I love that, Mark. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can base our happiness on outside, you know, experiences or what's going on outside of us, when really, would you say the happiness comes from within?
Absolutely. And I used to put on my voicemail, happiness is a choice.
Oh my gosh, that is my favorite saying.
Yeah, for about 3 years, and then finally people that call me a lot, they said, hey, please, we've heard this so many times, can you change it to something else?
Oh.
So I finally did. And I said, stay curious.
Yes.
Good on curiosity.
I love it, Mark. Oh, my gosh, we are a pair. On my office door, I have a sign that says, if I choose to be happy, no one can stop me.
I like that.
Oh.
That's a great one. Yeah. So that's the thing. I think that people have a crisis. The current situation, like I say, it could be with a loved one, a friend, their kid. And when that's resolved, they have the illusion that they can be, I don't even want to say happy, but they just won't be in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest mistake people make. Because so I think what it is, there's always going to be a certain disappointment. And I think we have to come to terms with uncertainty and loose ends. And that's what my new book is about. And I was going to call, the new book's called The Soul of Uncertainty. And I was going to call it Loose Ends, Learning to Love Uncertainty. Because we always have these loose ends. And And we're afraid. We sometimes we don't take action. So in Dancing on the River, that was a book that came out in 2010, Navigating Life Changes. I talk about these 8 principles of navigating change. And because things are always changing, just like a river. It's based on a rafting experience I had when I was 13. The river's always flowing. And the current's always flowing. And unless there's an obstruction, right? The river's going to flow. If there's an obstruction, what happens is the water starts to seek new avenues. And our life is like that sometimes. We have an obstruction. But what happens sometimes, rather than seeking a new pathway, we let it stop us.
Yes.
So we have an obstruction, we have to stop and think, okay, what's a new pathway? What's a new way of thinking around this obstacle?
So with your coaching with clients, is it basically helping them with that mindset and dealing with whatever, you know, clogs them down in their lives?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, people have challenges. They have obstacles. Sometimes with the coaching that I do, sometimes people just need somebody to listen. Somebody to listen to them and to guide them and to give them the encouragement that they can be happy, they can be successful, and give them a different way of looking at a situation. And I've worked with all types of people throughout the years. Some very high up professionally, others are artists and musicians. But it is, it's about how to help them. But what happens with a lot of people is that there's this negative voice that coaching we call gremlin. I refer to it a lot as your VOJ, your voice of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that voice?
The voice of judgment. I like that.
Yeah. So I'm sure you know the voice, right?
Yes. We all hear that voice sometimes.
Exactly. And we do anything to shut it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Shut up. Go away.
We can be our own worst critic. Yes.
Yes. And so what I do, what I suggest with people I work with is we identify with that voice. And what happens is when we're suffering, we're going through a crisis, and we're suffering. And what happens is there's crises, and then some people make every day like a mini crisis. Somebody says something they don't like, or they or a situation they don't feel they handled well enough. So what I suggest is give that voice a name. So that's what I do. I call my voice Ralph. It's actually, I mentioned in my book. And so with all the people I work with, that negative voice, I say, give it a name. So what do you think happens, Paula, when you give it a name?
Oh, then you can, I would think, recognize it and say, hey, you know, I'll say, Sandra, hey, Sandra, I don't believe that. I'm not going to listen to that. That's not true or whatever. But yeah, I would think it helps you recognize it.
Yeah. So the first thing is you recognize there's that voice again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give it a name, because when you, like in your situation, you by calling it Sandra, you realize it's not really you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this voice of judgment that comes up occasionally.
Oh, I love that, Mark.
Yeah, huh?
I love that.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, with Sandra, you don't want to reason with Sandra.
Okay.
She loves to argue with you. She'll love to argue with you all the time. Hey, what are you talking about? You know, this is really serious stuff. It hasn't ever been this bad. And so Sandra will keep you plugged in. So you don't want to reason with Sandra.
So don't.
All you want to do is recognize, hey, Sandra, mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yep. I love it. I love it.
So then you move on. You just notice it and you move on. Okay, Sandra, I see you're back. But you don't get into this reasoning, because that's what Sandra wants to do. So the gremlin or the voice of judgment, it's always gonna come back. So that's another thing that I've learned, is that we think, well, maybe I'll get to this place in my life when I, and in a way, it's kind of a negative thought. So there's this, a lot of people, hey, I love to get rid of, you know, these negative thoughts I have. And I suggest, don't worry about, don't try to get rid of them permanently. Just notice them and move on. Just shift your focus.
Yes.
You notice a negative thought, you think about what you're grateful for.
Yes, I love it.
You think about what you're grateful for.
So
that's kind of what I do. Now, there's another voice that I call your VIP. Now the VOJ, that voice is huge. It's loud. It's all the time, right? But there's another voice that we don't really cultivate, and that's what I suggest people is this other voice is called your VIP, your voice of inspiration and praise. It's a voice that we have to cultivate. And you're good at that. I can just tell you have a lot of enthusiasm.
So, I do. I get excited.
Well, you go to, it's like, so you got, you know, Sandra, you go, way to go, Paula. Way to go, Paula. Good work. And what I do is I give myself a name for that. Yeah, I think it's good to give yourself like a nickname, but it's an endearing name. So I call my VIP buddy, which is great. You know, buddy, hey, way to go, buddy, way to go.
I love
so
it.
So there's these two voices. There are always these two voices, and I think that we want to cultivate that other voice, that VIP,
yes,
because the other one is there all the time. But you don't want to get engaged in the other one.
Yes.
So a lot of times, I sometimes I'll be with somebody, and I'll say something, and afterwards I go, I'm thinking, why did you say that? What was I thinking? That kind of stuff.
Yes.
And then I just notice it, and then I'll go, hey, that was perfect, buddy. Good job.
Yes.
So it's always that reinforcement of but you know, we're so hard on ourselves, and I think that's another one of these things I've learned throughout the years. You know, these three things, and like I think this the second one I would say is that we're really hard on ourselves. I remember one time when I was a lawyer, I did this workshop. It was a weekend workshop in San Francisco with a group called the Actors Institute, and we had to give a performance the last afternoon of whatever we did. There was comedians, musicians, politicians, lawyers like myself, actors, and we gave a performance, and we were asked to critique our performance, and the group also critiqued our performance, and every single person's critique of their own performance was way harsher than the group's critique of the performance.
I believe it. Mm-hmm.
And the teacher said one thing that I always remember. And you know what that was?
What?
She said, if you had to get a job, you'd never hire yourself.
Oh.
And I remember that. It was great.
Yes.
Never hire yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so negative.
Yes. I have to mention, I love something I've seen looking at your website. Love yourself first. I love that, Mark.
Yes. Yes.
That's powerful.
Love yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I invite your listeners to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com. It's got a lot of information about what I do, and there are some videos of me speaking at different venues, and there's a sign up for my monthly newsletter, Letters on Life, and there's a lot of good information, access, a way to get my books, and also to talk to me if they're interested in finding out more about my approach to coaching.
I love it. Well, we will take a moment now, Mark, to pop out for a quick commercial. Everyone, okay. We're going to take a break, but I will be right back with Mark Susnow. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everyone. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here. If you're just joining us, I am with Mark Susnow, and he is sharing some fantastic information and inspiration. I just love it. Mark, we were talking about, you know, some of the coaching you do, self-love, all of that. I would like to ask you, what would you advise to the listeners how they can practice self-love? Any pointers on that for us?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. You've seen the little video I have on my email, and it's on my website about self-love. And I remember I was at a conference, and I shared this at a conference, and that was what the video was of. But a number of years ago, I was going through a hard time, and my buddy Duke said to me, he said, just look in the mirror and look at yourself, because this is when my marriage was breaking up and disintegrating and everything like that. And so I looked in so he said, look in the mirror. And that's what I did. I looked in the mirror and I looked at myself and I said, I got you, babe. And as soon as I said that, I even now I'm saying it to you, I almost started laughing. I mean, it's just every time I do that, and I start laughing, and it just totally shifts your energy, and it's just a way of and it's true, you know, that's what we have ourselves, and it's precious having ourselves, and it's nice to, but it's nice to share ourselves with other people. But other people don't complete us. What we do is we share our completeness. We share who we are as somebody who's creative, somebody who's whole, somebody who's resourceful. And so it's really loving yourself and to really see your gift, because everybody has a gift. It's just that, and usually it's right in front of us, but we are looking for something else. We're looking in the wrong places. We have to look inside. That's where really in my new book, Soul of Uncertainty, which is not coming out for a while until the end of the year, but I share the story of Buddy, who I chose. He's the main character, and he meets this modern day mystic named Mervyn, and they're out in the wilderness, and Mervyn takes him down to a river where one day he said, what do you see in this river? And Buddy goes, well, it's just, I see rocks, I see water flowing. And he said, probably there's fish in there. I don't see the fish. And Mervyn says that one day there used to be gold in the river there, and prospectors used to come from all over the world seeking treasure. But what happened was that they'd find the gold, and then they'd worry that people would steal the gold from them. And what happened was that the search of treasure became a trap, because even when they found what they thought would give them happiness, then they worried somebody would steal it from them, and they became attached to this treasure. But what they didn't know and they didn't realize is the real treasure is inside of us, and that's what our work is to mine that treasure inside of ourselves, and to really work on ourselves, and to, again, when we're working on ourselves, to make it fun, make it an adventure.
Yes.
And so it's that idea, that treasure that we have is inside ourselves. And I think when we know that the ourselves, not in somebody else, but inside ourselves, and to look inside and to start to acknowledge ourselves for our greatness and all the great things we've done. Because I think that everybody I talk to, when they really take the time for themselves to read, to work, someone like myself, I kind of help people, and other coaches do, help them go inside and to really discover their greatness, because there is that greatness that we all have. It's just that we let that voice of judgment run our lives.
Yes, discover our greatness. I love that, Mark. That is fantastic. Tell us, what triggered you to create your latest book, The Soul of Uncertainty? What brought that about?
That's really about, I started to think about these loose ends in our life. These loose ends, and how, again, it's this idea that when people worry about the future, about the uncertainty, and everything is uncertain.
Yes.
But people get obsessed with this uncertainty, and that's all they think about. And it's how to deal with that. It's really about, what if I could find peace in the midst of this uncertainty? Because one of my monthly newsletters that I write, that was finding peace in the midst of uncertainty. So it's that idea. But I didn't want to write another self-help book, because I already did that. So what I decided was to create this fable. And that's what I did. It's a fable about this young man starting in life and go back to his childhood and through his life. And he meets various characters, and he learns these life lessons, so it's that quest to find the hero inside ourselves, and how we do that in real life. You know, how do we find that hero inside of us in everyday life?
Yes, yes. Because
it's that idea that how do we come to terms with those loose ends?
Yes.
Because loose ends are I almost could have called the book Loose Ends, but I didn't, because. But this idea that we all have loose ends.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with them? Because those loose ends drive us crazy at times.
And that fear and doubt can actually close a door on what we can manifest. So, you know, being able to release that can be huge, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that fear and doubt.
Yes.
Fear and doubt. And it's always going to be there, but what happens is when we latch onto it, right? I like to think of a breeze. You know, you have all these thoughts breezing, right? Breezing past us. We're imagine on a mountaintop, and it's a windy day, and all these clouds are going by. You could just sit there and you watch these clouds, and depending on the wind, some go faster than others. But what happens is, if there's a dark cloud and it stops and you get fixated on it. And that's what happens when we get fixated on these negative thoughts, you know, these negative ideas.
Yes.
We get fixated on it, and we hang on to it.
Yes.
And it obsesses us, and it's all we focus on. But if we just don't, but if we just watch that cloud and keep, and we just let it disappear, right? And then the sun comes out.
Yes.
And we start to focus on how beautiful the sun is, or nighttime, right? There's the clouds.
Yes.
At nighttime. You see the clouds, and you don't see the stars, because the clouds are obscuring the stars. And then the clouds start to drift away, right? And what do
yes.
we see? We see these stars.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Because that does beat at us. Something I personally, I've always kind of looked at it as, you know, I'm this beautiful flowing river, this warm, loving, flowing river. And when stress, doubt, fear comes, it's the waves. And it's like, don't become the wave, because the wave hits the rock and the wave hurts. Just acknowledge that and let it go by. Because yes, Mark, it does really affect us.
I think sometimes, you know, the fear of pain,
mm-hmm.
right, is more painful than the actual experience.
Yes.
You know, there's a quote, one of my favorite quotes that I actually have in Dancing on the River is a quote by Anais Nin. And the day came, let's see if I get this right, the day came when the risk to remain closed in a bud became more painful than the risk to blossom. I love that quote.
Yes.
The day came when the risk to remain closed in a bud became more painful than the risk to blossom.
I love it. Tell us about Dancing on the River. How did you come up with that title? What?
It was based on a rafting experience I had when I was 13, when I almost drowned. It was on the Green River. I was swimming along, and I was, you know, with my uncle, and it was sponsored by the Sierra Club. And the guides said, hey, if anybody wants to swim alongside the boat, you know, you can do it now, because, you know, tomorrow the rapids get more challenging. So I went ahead and I jumped off out of the raft and swimming along. And 5 minutes later, I'm noticing that the water is getting a little swifter. And there's yells about get back on the boat. And I started to, you know, try to swim back to the, at an angle. But, you know, like I swam at an angle, I got back on the boat. And all of a sudden I realized that the current where the boat was swifter than where I was. I couldn't get back on the boat.
Oh my
and then
gosh.
There are more yells, stay in the center, you know, and I put my feet up, I swirled around as I went through the rapids. And then on the other side, there was this calmness, there was this eddy, you know, there's calmness, the water was still for a second. And I relaxed, and I said, wow, I'm safe, I'm okay, until all of a sudden the current started picking me up again, and I realized I still wasn't on the raft. And it was out of that experience I came up with these 8 principles of navigating change.
Oh,
and that's what's in the book, about this experience and how what these 8 principles are and how we can integrate them into our lives. So that book, by the way, Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes, is available on Amazon as a, you know, print book or a Kindle, and as a regular, you know, iPub for people, if they have like a, you know, any other kind of digital device, they can get the download on my website, Inspire Possibility.
Share a couple of those 8 principles with us, if you would, Mark.
One of them is to, the first one is to live from your center. And the last thing I heard on the river before I went through the rapids was stay in your center. So imagine what happens when you're not in your center. And the metaphor I use, and there are various ones, the one I can think of right now is, imagine you're driving your car and you don't have shocks on your car. Or the ones you do are really old. What happens then is every bump in the road is magnified. And and even the little bumps seem like a big deal. But when we live, but when you have new shocks, then you don't even notice the bumps on the road. You're focused on where you're going. You're focused on what's ahead, and you don't get distracted by those bumps, by those distractions. And so it's that idea, but how do you find that center? And that's where I get into to what I call the morning program. Where do you start your day with? I start my day with meditation. So I meditate in the morning, and then I focus on what I'm grateful for. And that's where on that rafting trip, when it looked like I was going to go through the rapids again, my uncle extended an oar to me, and I grabbed the oar and I was pulled onto the raft. And so I was grateful for that oar, for my uncle taking me on trip, grateful for the Sierra Club, and grateful for, you know, spirit, the universe, for creating such an amazing, beautiful area and such beautiful, amazing, you know, experiences we have in nature. So that gratitude of when you start to integrate gratitude into your life, it's amazing what happens, because it shifts your focus. Shifts your focus from thinking about what you don't like about your life, what isn't working, to what you do like, to what is working. And when you shift, and what happens is what you focus on expands.
Yes.
So I even when I work with individuals in my coaching practice, we start to work on qualities within themselves that they want to expand on. So, for example, what about you, Paula? What's something you're working on, like a characteristic or a quality that you'd like to kind of improve upon?
Gosh. Well, I've always been very focused on gratitude. I've always felt happiness as a choice. And so I guess for what I'm focusing on is remembering to always take the time to breathe, because I'm so busy now with my multiple shows and my Reiki and the ebook, everything happening. The days are so busy, and it's like I have to take time to breathe and relax and love myself for a few minutes. So that's pretty much what my focus is. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you know, you could, I would approach it, I mean, in different ways. I mean, but essentially really what it is that really taking time for you.
Yes.
Right. To make time for you to just to tune in to yourself, to listen to, you know, I'm really grateful for my willingness to take the time to really listen to my breathing, to take the time. Really grateful for my ability to slow down.
Yes, I love it.
I'm really grateful that I know how to slow down.
I believe gratitude just, you know, changes our whole outlook if we can take the time to just be grateful, you know.
Yeah.
I was born a preemie baby, 2 pounds. I wasn't supposed to survive the night. And I did. So my whole life, you know, I feel like I've been very grateful. You know, it's how we look at things.
You know, there's one other thing I'd like to add to, you know, for today anyway. The third principle, like gratitude is the second principle of the eight. Curiosity is the third one. So when you start your day, what I suggest to people after you meditate, even if it's just for 5 minutes, get into the gratitude, then ask yourself a question. It's an inquiry, and which is, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be.
Oh, how fun.
It's a great question, because it really, you know, you're in that anticipation. And the secret is that no matter what, there's always a highlight.
I love that, Mark. Oh, my
always
gosh.
Yes.
I love that. And that triggers excitement and, you know, some positive energy. That is fantastic.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is there's always a highlight. And if you know that, you just have to look for it. Right? Or not look for it, just be open to it.
Yes.
So you start your day, you're thinking about, like in your situation, well, I got, you know, this interview, that interview, and the other things you have to do. So you're always thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And you're curious what the highlight's going to be. Yes. Knowing that, even in the darkest moment, there's a highlight. But you're thinking, I'm curious what the highlight of my day is going to be today.
Or
maybe it's something I haven't even thought of yet. So you're in that question, and then the end of the day, I guess the highlight was. So the ideal situation is sometimes is you can't make up your mind what the highlight was. There are two or three great things you get to choose from.
Yes.
It's a great practice. And because in a way it's something that all day long you're open to that good mm-hmm. being part of your life.
Mm-hmm. And really that mindset will trigger more good coming in, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
That's the idea, because again, with the gratitude is what you focus on expands. Right. So again, with the gratitude, right, it's shifting your focus from what isn't working to what is working. So for you, if you start to express gratitude for, let's say, your you want more balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you say, I'm grateful for the balance of my life.
Yes.
I'm grateful for my ability to recognize when I need to slow down.
I love it.
I'm grateful for the message I get from my innermost being that it's time to slow down, to mm-hmm. chill out. So you kind of create these things that you start to notice. Hey, I'm grateful for my ability to really listen to myself, to what I need. That's a good one for you. I'm really grateful for my willingness to really listen to what I need.
Yes, I love it.
That's a perfect one for you.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I love it. We are down to about 5 minutes left in the show. What last words? What would you like to share with the listeners today, Mark?
I think I've been doing it all along. I think this idea that we're really hard on ourselves. And you know, what I discovered, too, is that people usually underestimate how other people perceive them. And a lot of times, people's self-image of what other people think of them, their perception of what other people think, is usually very negative.
Oh, my gosh, that's
huge,
yes.
And I think that other people see us in a better light than we realize. And I think if we know that, maybe we don't quite believe it, but I know that. So when people come to me, I remind them of how I see them.
Yes.
Because they don't see that themselves. I remember there was one of my clients came to one of my talks, and after the talk, I was kind of starting my coaching practice at that time. She asked me some questions, and I felt kind of intimidated. And she just seemed so confident. And the reality is that she never, when we got to know each other and when I worked with her, she was very insecure. She never saw herself as a confident person. And she's always insecure around meeting new people. And I reminded her of how I felt. Since this is how I saw you. You're very powerful and magnetic. And, you know, it took her, she finally got that. And it just changed how she perceived herself when she met new people. Because
yes.
People don't know how other people perceive them.
You're right.
And that's what I do. I kind of give them feedback.
That is a powerful message. Because, yes, I'm thinking of my Sandra. She may, you know, tell me that, you know, this is what they think of you when it may not even be true. Because we
exactly.
do judge ourselves. Oh,
exactly.
Wow. That is something, Mark.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. You do so much for others.
Well, thank you.
You really are an inspiration.
Well,
yes.
Thank you, Paula. So are you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I like your enthusiasm, your gift, and your Yeah, you're one that seems to focus on the positive all the time.
Yes.
Not all the time, but most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you do. And it's good because you made that shift.
Yes.
You made that shift to focusing on the good, mm-hmm. rather than dwelling on the negative. So you haven't attached yourself to the dark cloud.
Yeah. Tell us.
Watch the cloud go by.
Yes. And enjoy that cloud. I love it. Mark, tell the listeners, just through your website, they can get the information on how to listen to you on your blog talk.
Yes. The website is inspirepossibility.com. And if you want to talk to me about the coaching I do, if you're really serious about wanting to change and integrate new habits into your life, I give people a 40-minute free consultation to explore that. And they can get my books on Amazon, the Dancing on the River. And the radio show is on BBS Radio. They just go to bbsradio.com/inspirepossibility. And my website, again, is inspirepossibility.com. And the radio show is called the Inspire Possibility Show.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, thanks, Paula, for having me as your guest.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so honored, Mark. I'm so happy we connected. We're going to have to do another show down the road. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that idea. A big thank you. And to all the listeners out there, love, hugs, blessings, and have a happy day. Chat with you later.